So this week it's the week after Pesach, and really we should be learning Tazria Metzora. But I want to visit Parshas Shemini again, and it's strange. I went to shul, and again between Mincha Maariv and Yom Tov, the Rov invited somebody to speak, and as Yom Tov progressed, I became more and more sad. And Shlomo used to say, "I don't want to say anything bad, but and I don't want to say anything bad either. But I had such a longing to hear a Torah that springs from an emotional connection to the Torah." I have a mother, I have a father. A lot of what they do and what they did is to help me socialize. Nah, don't do that. That's not yours. Don't take other people's things. Nah, share nicely. So a lot of what we get from our parents is direction, right? Then there's the Ze'eranpin, right? The small faces, You sit with your father, you sit with your mother, they tell you stories from their childhood. You get a little older, and your mother says, "Yeah, you remember that time, Really, you thought your father had gone away on business, but he and I, we were taking a break." You find out stuff like, "Whoa, I have no idea." "Oh, you remember that time when such as," and then you start to find that the people that you love have other dimensions, and even though there'll always be a father, always be a mother, but hey, there's a person who had childhood and an adolescence and longings and desires and fights and disappointments and hopes, ambitions. You go to shul, and the Rav can only give you direction. And you say to him, "Why?" He said, "Well, this is what the Torah demands." So, Baruch Hashem, I go to shul, where the Rav is very learned, very Elach, very sweet man. But his message is, we have to listen to the Rabbonim. We have to listen to what the Rabbonim tell us. And he's fixated on this message that he needs, that we're living here in America, where there's so much freedom, and we really need to know that our lives can get into such a mess unless we do what the Rabbonim tell us in their wisdom that we need to do, and we really need to listen. And these are, and every week the message that comes through is, this is the message, or some variation thereof. So after 8 days, I'm hungering for the Torah where my father and my mother let down their guard and open up to me and let me know that they're human. They're not just directors and guides and mentors and judges and magistrates and police. I wanna hear already from the Torah that the Torah was once young, that the Torah was once God's plaything. First Medrash, Ve'yashashuim Yoim V'yoim, God played with the Torah for 2,000 years before creation. So it means the Torah can be young, right? The Torah can be young and can be a plaything. The Torah can be my parent. The Torah can be my lover. Shlomi used to say, what's the first thing that happens when you fall in love? You want to reveal all your secrets. You want to tell the person you love all the mysteries that go up to make who you are. So when you learn Torah in love, then the Torah wants to reveal her secrets. The pillow talk. So I'm sitting there in shul and I'm dying, to hear some of the sweetness of the Torah that I've heard, some of the humor, some of the playfulness, some of the gewalt, deepest touching Torah that I've heard, and it wasn't to be, you know. So I have my books, I have my Sforim, the Sforim that, you know, keep me alive. I can't imagine traveling any distance without a copy of the Meir Shiloyach, for example, right? In the last, I don't know how many years I've been learning the Tiferes Yosef, the Radzina, the great-grandson of the Heilige Ishbitzer. You know, sometimes you can learn a Torah, but it doesn't reveal itself. Because maybe you're not ready, maybe you don't want it enough. There's any number of reasons. A person also sometimes has a shmata cup, right? So you don't get it. You learn it again. It's just words. You learn it again. I got the first few lines, but then the end, it just kind of slipped away to me. I can't even remember what, you know, and then you learn it again, doing it again. So I had the joy that I was learning the Tiferes Yosef, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's what he meant. You know, you and I, for many years now, we've been learning Ishbitz. Comes to Parsha Shemini, we read that story of how Nadav and Avihu, the two older sons of Aaron, how they tried desperately to fix the world, right? So what happened? Moshe went up onto the mountain. As God was carving into us the Luchos Avonim, the tablets of stone, right? As God is carving the words V'shomru v'nei Yisrael es ha-Shabbos la'os es ha-Shabbos le'doi roisim b'risoylam, God is carving it into us so deep, right to the deepest part of our soul. Anoichi, the Gemara says, Anod nashoi kasovis Yehovah's, God says, I have written my soul and given it to you. That's the meaning of the Torah. God says, I wrote myself down. There is no author in the world who could write me. I wrote myself down. All right? It's not me. It's a story. It's my narrative. It's my words. It's my novel. It's me. This is the best I could do, says God. I wrote myself down. Here, take me. This is the Torah. Yeah? So, while God is carving the Torah, meaning God is writing himself into the Torah, where's the Torah? It's in you, it's in me, right? So God is carving himself, and what are we doing? We're carving an egel, right? A golden calf. All right. So Moshe comes down, he breaks the luchos, he smashes everything, and he goes up onto the mountain. 40 days, 40 nights. All right, God says, go down, bring me some fresh stones. Let's start again. Moshe goes up, and this time Moshe does the carving. And he brings it down on Yom Kippur, and he tells us, God says, "V'osul l'migdash v'shechanti b'seichon, make me a tabernacle. I want to dwell. I want to dwell in them." You know, this carving business, it doesn't work. We're gonna have to, like, I'm gonna have to come and live with you. You won't read the book. You won't take the steps. You don't go to meetings. All right, Chevre, I'm coming to live with you. So we make this Mishkan. Matzah Yom Kippur, everybody starts to bring stuff. And we build the Mishkan, we build this tabernacle, it's ready on Chof Hei Kislev, in the middle of the winter, we're ready to set it up. And God says, no, wait. So then, on the 23rd, the 24th of Adar, God says to Moshe, okay, now. So we've been waiting all winter. We come, it's like everybody comes to see. Moshe dresses in white linen, and he takes every piece of this tabernacle, the 100 boards and the 200 sockets and the silver and the copper and the gold, and he assembles it in one day. This 80-year-old man, like a giant, right? On his own. And he sacrifices Shoreva Ayil, an ox and a goat, and he disassembles it and puts it back where it was, all the boards nicely on the wagons, everything wrapped up, the Aron HaKodesh covered. The next day, Moshe dresses in white, goes to the mikveh, assembles the whole thing again on his own. Everybody's watching. And again, he sacrifices Shoreva Ayil, and again, he disassembles it. 7 days. On Rosh Chodesh Nisan, God says to Moshe, now, Hakrev Elechos Aaron Echicho, now, take Aaron and do this with Aaron, with his children. Dress him in the big day kohuna, with the choshen and the ephod, the breastplate, and all the beautiful garments, and dress the kohanim, and let's get this show on the road. So it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And now it's not just an ox and a goat, but now it's the whole panoply of the sacrifices, the mourning, the carbon tumid. And then as the day progresses, you've got the Soish al Rosh Chodesh, the sin offering of the new moon, and so forth. And this is the day the whole world has been waiting for. Now, you could argue that we needed to worship the golden calf in order to bring this about, because, you know, Salome tells me that in Farsi they say that when you're tied to someone and then you do something to cut the string that connects you, then when you tie yourself to that person again, the string is shorter, because before it was just a string, but now you have to tie a knot. So each time you break up with someone, you make up with them, the string gets shorter and shorter. You get closer and closer, right? So now that God has forgiven us and Moshe's negotiated a new contract, so now Rabban Shalem says, all right, now I'm living in your house, right? V'shachanti b'soichon. So it's the fixing. And we're learning what's the ultimate fixing. Rabbi Shalom says, Hiviu kapora olai shemi'atati es hayareach. Bring a sin offering for me that I diminished the moon. And this we were learning about Yosef, about the selling of Yosef into Mitzrayim, and how God considers himself part of that conspiracy, and, you know, implicates himself in the massive blunders that human beings make, and you know, that really is the original meaning of the story. The moon said to God, you can't have two kings wearing the same crown. So God says to the moon, okay, so reduce yourself. So it goes from being the two great luminaries to the big one, the sun, the small one, the moon. And then the moon starts to complain until finally God says, all right, forgive me. Have you kaporolai? on every new moon, on Rosh Chodesh, we're going to have a special offering, which is a chatos. And by the chatos, the sin offering of Rosh Chodesh, it says chatos l'Hashem, a sin offering for God. So, we were learning in Ishbitz what happened on that day. Nadav and Avihu, thinking to themselves, this is the day of fixing. If God is going to fix the diminution of the moon, this means the fixing of everything, right? It's not just the moon that's diminished. Every one of us shares something of that lack of light. We don't have enough of our own. We reflect some of the great light, and also we sometimes go dark. So if this is the great fixing, and this is what the world has been waiting for, so let's make the fixing complete. Let's fix the sin of Adam and Chava, who ate from the tree of knowledge. Let's bring the world back to the way it was when we were still in the Garden of Eden. Let's repair all the breaches. Let's make the world come into an alignment, to a peace, into a shleimus. You know the word sholem, shleimus and sholem. It's like it means wholeness, right? And they take the incense, which ultimately the incense, you take some of the most foul smelling chemicals like this asafoetida and all these, they smell disgusting, the galbanum, and you mix it together and you burn it. It's like it's the incense, which a person could die from smelling. It's so sweet. Nadav and Avihu are going to take the whole world and turn it into this incense and bring it to God and be makriv, draw it close. It's not the time, for one reason or another. They die. They're killed. They drop dead there in this brand new tabernacle on the day of the wedding. It's like the father whacks the bridegroom dead. I go out. So the Torah tells us in Parashat Shemini, there was a all the Jewish people were watching the goings on, right? But there's, besides this chaos or whatever, besides the drama of the death of Nadav and Avihu, there is now a procedure, there are rituals to perform that have to be done. So Moshe starts to make inquiries whether the day has gone properly, and he finds that the meat of the chatas, sin offering of Rosh Chodesh, has not been eaten. So he starts to ask Elozer v'Isomar, Aaron, what's going on? How come you didn't do what you were told to do? See, the thing is, what is the meaning of a sin offering, and why does it need to be eaten? You know, we have offerings that we offer on the Mizbeach, on the altar, where you take the whole animal, you burn it. That's it. I mean, the skin, the hooves, whatever you take, they don't burn, but essentially, they're burned whole. The chatos, the sin offering, doesn't get burned. Parts of it get burned, but good part of it get eaten by the kohen. And the halacha is, kohanim oichlim ubalim iskaprim. The kohen eats his portion right there in the temple, and the owner receives his cleansing. Right, so you can bring a sin offering, but if it didn't get eaten, then the ritual isn't finished. The kapora, the cleansing, isn't complete. Kohanim oichlim, the Kohen eats. Ubalim is chaprim, and the owners receive their penance. So there. Yeah. Mechila. Forgiveness. So, we were learning in the Me'a Shiloyach, what's the real meaning? Is that when a person brings a sin offering and he goes through that ritual and the Kohen eats it, the Kohen represents God, and God says, all right, I take it. I own it now. You can go home. Not your fault. It was an accident. I own it now, says God. That's the meaning of Kohanim Oichlim Balim Ischaprim. But if the sin offering of Rish Chodesh is God saying, Heviu Kapur Olai, what does it mean? What does it mean? It means the opposite way around, right? This is a sin offering for God, that God is the Balim, the owner, that when the Kohen eats it, God receives the cleansing. How? Because the Kohen is our Shaliach. The Kohen, the priest, represents the Jewish people. And we say to God, it's all right. We own it. You can go. You can let go. We own it. What? We own what? The miut hayireach, the diminution of the moon, which represents all those areas of the human psyche and the human person where there's darkness. You could argue, hey, who made darkness? God made darkness, so that's his problem, right? But when the Kohen eats this Soyerish Chodesh, we're really saying to God, you know, we own our own faults. And even though you could argue that it's your fault, but don't. We are going to do everything in our power to fix ourselves. So Moshe comes and he starts to find out why this wasn't eaten. Now there are two reasons why sometimes a chatos isn't eaten. Let's say by accident somebody took part of it out of the temple thinking that it was a different kind of offering. So let's say they slaughtered this sin offering, and then, you know, the blood goes into a bowl for sprinkling on the altar, and let's say by mistake somebody took some of that blood outside the precinct. It's called a psul yoitze, a disqualification by exiting. So if that were the case, then the chatos would be abandoned and it would just be, you know, disposed of, and the ritual would come to an end. So Moshe says, so what happened? Did any of the blood or something get taken outside the precinct? And they said no. So Moshe said, well, perhaps there's another disqualification. It's called the psul nichnas. It's like if by mistake you take the blood or part of the animal into the inside sanctuary where the Holy of Holies, where it wasn't supposed to go. If that happens also, you know, it's like the whole ritual has to be abandoned. And they said, no, it didn't happen. So Moshe said, no, if it didn't go out, it didn't go in, so why didn't you just treat it like a chatos and eat it? So the Ishbitzer we were learning, the Ishbitzer says, what does it mean when you have a psul yoitze? You know, it's God saying, yeah, you made a mistake, and it's not going to be fixed right now. It's not going to be fixed right now. I'm not going to let you fix it this way by bringing a carbon and giving it to me. No. So you try to bring the carbon, you try to bring the offering, and something goes wrong. part of the animal was taken outside the precinct. You have to abandon the ritual. Okay. Because God doesn't want you to have that kapara right now. That's one reason why it might be disqualified. The other one is psul nichnas, that something went into too holy a place. The Ishbitzi says, you know, sometimes God does want you to have a cleansing and a, you know, a finishing and completion and letting go and so forth, resolution, but doesn't want you to know about it. It's not you're going to be yours. Because really you're not ready for it, but it needs to happen. So God makes a psul that everything gets taken into such a holy place that you can no longer continue with the ritual. So you have a psul nichnas. So the Ishbitzi says, but in this case, since God is the owner, right? God is, so to speak, asking for forgiveness and a cleansing. So these two reasons, because now is the wrong time, or now is, you know, it's not to be called on, you know, whatever. These can't apply. So Aaron says to Moshe, you are thinking about an individual. You're thinking about individual. Individual, all this stuff applies. But this particular carbon that we were eating here, or are going to eat here, well, this was the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh that's going to be brought every single month until the end of time. You know, this is Kodshid Doiris. So the halacha is different of Kodshid Shoh and Kodshid Doiris. If it's an individual who brings a carbon, then, you know, there are all kinds of reasons why one halacha applies. But now you're talking about Kodshid Doiris, the Soir of Rosh Chodesh. This is a very, very strict. You have to apply all kinds of stringencies here. And since my sons had died, you know, even though normally, if it were just the carbon of an individual, I would be obliged to eat it, even though my sons have died and I'm an oino, whatever, you know, I would eat it. But this was Kodshid Doiros, which is a very holy sacrifice that's going to be brought every month until the end of time, and special laws apply to it, and so I didn't eat it. Vayishma Moshe, the Torah says, Moshe heard Vayitav Be'enav, and he liked what he heard. So again, we were learning the Ishbitzer, we're learning the Me'er Shiloch over the years, and Me'er Shiloch says, Aaron said to Moshe, I couldn't swallow it. I couldn't swallow it. I tried my gullet, my throat. It wouldn't go down. Not just I couldn't stomach it, I couldn't get it past my throat. My mouth refused. My muscles in my neck, I couldn't swallow it. And I know it has something to do with the death of Nadav and Avihu. And the Ishbitz explains what Aaron's thinking was. That he felt that, you know, there are some things that we can't take responsibility for. You know, God is saying, you know, Heviu Kapora Lai, I need you to bring a carbon, I need you Kohanim to eat it for me, and then the Jewish people need to accept it. So Aaron says, from the death of Nadav and Avihu, my reaction to it, I realize there's some things we can't accept. Moshe understands where Aaron's coming from, but he understands on a deeper level that, you know, had it been Moshe to whom this happened, he would have been able to swallow it. Because Moshe understands things Aaron doesn't. This is what we've been learning every year. This year, I opened up the Tiferes Yosef, and I learned it again, one more time. And this time, it jumped out at me. He says like this. We look at ourselves. Sometimes, you know, when we look at those parts which are so flawed, so deeply flawed, we're overwhelmed. You know, a person can come face to face with the full enormity of, like, their humanity, which is another way of saying they can come face to face with the smallness of who they are and feel like, oi, I'm never going to be able to fix this. There's something in me that is flawed, that I was born flawed. It goes so deep, this flaw. I'm just looking at it, I'm overwhelmed. Like the prophet Isaiah says, "Upushea mi beten koiralach." God called you a sinner from the womb. You know, the other religions, they jump on this. They say, ah, original sin. You know, we don't have original sin. We have original flaw. Like we have so many parts of our personality that are not strong, right? What does it mean to be flawed? It means that if you put pressure on a person, they crack along the lines of their weakness, right? That's the flaw. I mean, it's very nice when you polish it up. It's like a marble, right? Piece of marble. It's beautiful, and the flaws, right, are the beauty, right? You polish it up, it's... But you know, you can predict in advance that when you put pressure on that marble, it's going to break along the line of the flaw, right? Same thing with the personality, you know? I mean, like, you can predict where it is. You'll bend and snap and break when pressure is put on you, because those are your flaws, and it's all right. So I'm going to take care not to put myself under pressure. I'm going to do, oh yeah, very nice. Give out. Bal tshuva. Yeah. But the flaw is still there, right? And sometimes it is present and it seems to dominate everything that we do. It's like whatever I try and do. If I'm trying to do business, I'm trying to worship God, I'm trying to be in love with my, whatever it is, this flaw crops up. So a person could say, I didn't make this flaw. You know, you made me. So I could say to Rabbi Hashem, you know, Esmoil Hayisi Muto Goylem Lafenecha, the Gemara says, yesterday I was just lying, I was, what was I? Stardust. Molecules. You made me into a human being, so like, why couldn't you make me more perfect, you know? Nevertheless, the meaning of the Soirish Chodesh, the meaning of the Soirish Chodesh is God says, Heviu Kapur Alai, bring a sin offering for me. The Kohen eats it, and I accept. I say, no. I'm going to do whatever I can to try and fix, to try and repair, try and strengthen, make whole. Not to say, Rabbi Hashem, it's your fault. An Odom Arishon, you know, the Gemara says that. It's a Medrash Shochetov. God says to Odom, who caused death to come to the world? And Odom says, God, I did it. He didn't say, yesterday I was earth, and you made me into this person, and now you're going to blame me for being acting like a person, like a human? He didn't. He said, I take the blame. I'm responsible. Not like Cain, right? Who, when God says to him, what's going on? He says, Hashem Ochi Anochi, am I in charge? I'm supposed to be looking after human beings. You're supposed to be looking after human beings. If Hevel's dead, who's responsible? You're responsible. You're the God. Adam didn't do that, right? He took responsibility. So the Torah tells us that's our responsibility, is always to own our faults and to undertake to fix, right? So that's what Moshe is saying to Aaron. He says, maybe the idea of psul yoitze, a psul, you know, the disqualification that comes about because the carbon gets taken out, means, did you get lazy and give up and say, I'm never going to be able to fix this? It's too much for me. Leave me alone. Just let me be. So he's learning into his Zeda like a new meaning, right? And Aaron says, no, that's not what humanity has done. No, we We haven't said, oh, we're just animals, we're no better than animals, we can't control ourselves, we give up, self-control doesn't work, and that's it, I'm just going to do whatever comes. No, we don't. We really own our behaviors, and we take responsibility, and even though we're flawed, we keep on going through life as though we can somehow surmount our flaws and not act out on them. So he said to him, maybe the blood went psul nichnas, maybe it went too high, meaning maybe you said God, it's up to you. Yeah, I've done everything I can, it's up to you. Maybe that's the meaning of letting the blood go into that place which is too holy, means that you say to yourself, it's up to you. So he says, no, I still, human beings, we try every day, we get back up, we get up in the morning and we try and, you know, do what we can, right? So Moshe says, no, so why didn't you eat it? So he said, there has to be a place in us where we accept God is involved. Aaron says to Moshe, he says, sometimes you try so hard, right? You work a whole lifetime on trying to fix what it is where you struggle, right? And then you get down, deep down, and you find that it's in your soul. Well, who's your soul? What's your soul? This is godly. It's right there. Whether it's pride or anger or lust or, you know, one of the deep, deep problems that a person has, right? You find, you go deep, you find it's right there in the neshama. No, what is your neshama if not a chelek elikam imal? It's God inside you. He said, it's God inside me. It's God inside me. No. How can I be giving a kapora to God when he's inside me? Then let God be his own kapora. If God is inside me, let him eat the carbon. I don't see, says Aaron. I'm looking. I don't see how I, the human being, can fix that part of me which is God. Don't see it. From the death of Nadav and Avihu, I am brought to the realization that there's things that are too high for me, not too low, too high. And my only resort is then lahachzik be'emuna yisera, to have a higher kind of faith that my humanity has a place in the face and in the presence of God. That I'm enough. That I've done enough. That what I try and do is enough. And even though I know I'm not going to succeed, what I'm doing is enough. And Moshe says, all right. And God, Moshe knows, and this is how the Tiferes Yosef ends. He knows that God is choshev machashovois lebilti yudach mimenu nidach. That God has his calculations and is not going to leave any of us with a flaw in the end. Even though we can't see how it can be fixed and we don't know if we want it to be fixed. It's our neshama almost, who we are. Moshe knows.